This video clip will be a bit unusual. What I'm doing is recommending another YouTube video. I've given the link below this video here on the website. And I say this is a must-see debate. It's a debate between two men, John McDermott and Jason Hall. It's called the Theonomy Debate. No, don't get put off. The Theonomy Debate. It's a question on the mosaics of the law. And the motion in the debate between these two men is that the Mosaic civil law is obligatory upon civil governments today. McDermott proposes it or opposes it. McDermott is a theonomist, Reconstructionist. Hall is a Baptist covenant theologian. And these two men are debating, discussing, arguing, I'll use the word in a fair way, over this question of the Mosaic civil law. So why ever do I recommend this debate under the title of my series here, New Covenant Theology Made Simple? This is a debate between a theonomist and a covenant theologian. There wasn't a new covenant theologian in sight. So why would I recommend it? Well, I do so for this simple reason. In my opinion, it's the best advert I've ever seen for new covenant theology. And I mean that. I know I'm not neutral, of course. But if I was approaching new covenant theology, interested in it, and I watched this debate between a theonomist and a covenant theologian, I think I would say, having seen what these two men offer and the way they discuss these great issues, I certainly will give New Covenant Theology a look. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said, the way you show a crooked stick, the best way, is simply to lay a straight stick down alongside. And I've written a paper, and again, I've given the link below this clip here, this video. I've given the link on my eDocs link on my website on Sermon Audio. And I've set out there the scriptures in that paper. In this video, I just want to give a brief overview. Here we see two men discussing the Mosaic civil law and whether it's obligatory on civil governments today. Now, what do you find when you watch this debate? Now, check it out. Don't just take my word for it. And in fact, I'm advising you to watch this debate. Well, I will say this, and I'll try and be fair with the men. Both of them are very clear, and I have no hesitation in accepting what they say. Both men are very clear that Scripture is the final authority. Scripture is their authority. Now, I fully accept that they mean that, they believe that, and that is true for them. Indeed, McDermott starts by 1 Timothy chapter 1. Therefore, I hope that's understood. Both men are men of Scripture. That is what they say, and I allow it, I admit it, I accept it. But when they come to argue, reason, debate over this issue, check it out, you will find that whilst they do mention Scripture, as I say, McDermott starts with 1 Timothy chapter 1, the weight of their discussion hinges on what? Not Scripture, but the Westminster Confession, or the 1689 Baptist Confession, particular Baptist Confession, or as they call it, The Second London Confession. Confession, confession, confession. Check it out. The impression I get is not simply scripture. It's scripture nuanced, filtered by the confession. And I think I'm being kind there, because the impression I get is it's the confession rides supreme. And it's not only the confession. These two men spend a great deal of time, as far as I can see, check it out, arguing over Calvin and the Puritans. We hear again and again what John Calvin said, what William Perkins said, Samuel Rutherford, Samuel Bolton, William Googe. And they come to the Massachusetts Bay Colony and the hanging of a young man for sexual deviation. And they argue over these divines, what these divines said, what these divines wrote. Indeed, they argue over what these divines were thinking when they wrote and when they said things. So we're exploring the minds of these Puritans and others. So the confessions and the Puritans, Calvin, and down to Branson and North and so on, it's men and confessions. They play a huge part in this debate. New Covenant theology, well, I'll speak for myself. I don't have a system. Well, I do. My system is this. I open my Bible and I let the Bible speak. Now, I'm not trying to be clever. I am willing to consult other men. Of course I am. But if I was making my case for New Covenant theology, I hope, I believe, I think I can say, check it out on these videos, I would argue from Scripture. If you read, if you watch my testimony clip, you will see that that's how I came to New Covenant theology, by trying to preach Scripture. But these men, and I think it's typical of theonomists and covenant theologians, the confessions, the Puritans, Calvin and Calvin and so on. These men and these confessions play an inordinately high place, their position and their stance. That comes over very clearly to me. And the straight stick is Scripture and not the confessions of men. Then again, now it may be that in other places they have done this, but in this debate, as far as I can see, nobody defined the law, and yet in Scripture again, you see, the law takes several meanings, six or seven or more maybe. But I'll accept that they meant the Mosaic law, but they didn't define their terms. You may say it was in the title, okay. Well, I agree then, the Mosaic law. But they didn't actually define it scripturally. But then the debate hinges on something called the Mosaic civil law. Whatever's that? Oh, well, that's the threefold division, of course. The moral law, the civil law, and the ceremonial law. And the Mosaic civil law is what they're talking about. Now, we should need, I need, I demand, scriptural proof for that threefold division. I know Thomas Aquinas taught it. I know Calvin taught it. I know the Puritans taught it. I know those confessions have it. I know nearly all the books have it. But I'm asking for scriptural proof. What scriptural proof did these two men offer? They didn't offer any. They argued with one another about which two parts or three parts were in the division they're talking about, and they used scripture to justify whether or not their particular division of the law was right. But none of that established the actual division of the law itself into two or three parts. I don't care whether it's two or three. I want to see the scriptural proof that the law can be divided. I tell you this, if you ask Moses what was the Mosaic civil law, he wouldn't know what you were talking about. If you ask the Jews of the Old Covenant what the mosaic civil law is, or the moral law is, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, nor would the believers of the New Testament. The Bible never does it, you see. The law is one indivisible unity in Scripture, always. So the whole debate is hanging upon a non-existent, at least scripturally speaking, division of the law. But on that basis, these two men then proceed to wrangle, argue, debate over whether it's obligatory upon all men today. Well, what does the New Covenant say? New Covenant theology says the law is one indivisible law. It tells us, as we read Romans chapter 5, the Bible tells us that until Sinai, there was no existence of the law. The law came in Exodus 20. The law came in at Sinai with Moses, and it was for Israel. So all the men before Moses, before Mount Sinai, none of those men had the law. We also learn in Scripture, and I've given all the scriptures in these in the paper that I've listed below in that EDOC link, with the same title, A Must-See Debate. The law was given to Israel. It was never given to the Gentiles. The Bible makes this abundantly plain. It also makes it plain that the law was a temporary measure until the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, who would fulfill the law, perfect it, and render it obsolete. The Bible also tells us that the believer, in being united to Christ by faith, is married to Christ and has died to the law. So, these two men are arguing over an unscriptural division of the law, trying to apply it, or whether not to apply it, to all men, when the law itself, as one indivisible unity, was given for a temporary time to Israel as a special marker and separator for them from all men. It was never given to all men. All men are not under the Mosaic law. So the whole debate hinges on an unscriptural division and an unscriptural proposition about its application, the application of the law. New Covenant theology knows that the law was a temporary measure given to Israel as a child custodian until the coming of the seed, Christ, who fulfilled it, perfected it, brought it to its goal, its terminus, its end, rendered it obsolete. Believers are free from the law because they're married to Christ. They were married to the law, but they have to die to the law to be married to Christ. All this is what the Bible makes clear. And that is why I urge you to watch this debate. You will need to be quick on your feet with metaphysics, because these two men argue about the confessions and something called general equity. Now that's bad enough, but it's not only general equity, they argue about the adjective you put in front of the words general equity. You need to be nimble in metaphysics, you need to know your catechisms, you need to know what Calvin said and what he thought, what William Perkins wrote and what he was thinking. You need to discuss the idea of whether you should hang a man for incest or for sexual deviation. You need to be quick on your feet with all these things if you want to go down the way of the theonomist or the covenant theologian. I urge you to watch this debate and then open your Bible and let the Bible speak to you. And you will see that what I have said before you, I really believe, is the truth of those scriptures. If you want to see my selection of the scriptures, I say selection, they seem to me to be the relevant ones, then please read my paper. One other thing, even when these men do take the scripture, they make a dreadful mistake. Instead of going for the big picture first, and then coming to the major texts and passages, and then, finally, looking at the lesser passages, you understand what I mean by that. They're all scripture, but some are less important in this subject. They speak of other things, but you go for the major passages first. And then you turn to the more difficult texts to fit them into the scriptural pattern. No, these men do not do that. I didn't hear anything on Romans 7, 4-6. I didn't really hear anything on 2 Corinthians 3, I think. Nobody mentioned Hebrews 8, 13. Indeed, Hebrews 7-10. Nobody mentioned Philippians chapter 3, as far as I know. Galatians, tremendous statements. We got some references, but the major, major passages were left untouched. Indeed, the overall picture of Scripture was left untouched. And so we were listening to a debate, watching a debate between two titans, arguing over a non-existent division of the law, trying to apply it today when it was never intended for today. And their arguments hinged too much, for my mind, on the confessions and upon men. I want to be a Berean and search the Scriptures and see if these things be so. But I urge you to watch the debate, and I'm pretty confident you'll come away thinking that New Covenant theology is simple because it's scriptural. And I have every hope that by watching this debate, you will at least consider very seriously the claims of New Covenant theology. Of course, I hope for more. But that's my recommendation. Watch this debate and then open your Bible and see the difference.